Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You know, people, as we are, one of the things that I want you to understand is that we are always looking. All of us are looking all the time. Let me take you through a small list here. We're looking for employment. We're looking at the newspaper. Looking at our iPhone. Looking for love. Looking for acceptance. Looking for something to eat. Looking for a friend. Looking to fit in. Looking for a church. Looking for a deal. Looking for comfort. You get the picture there, that we're always constantly looking, and it's very natural and it's in our character to look every day. We take it such for granted to even hear this right now. It's almost like, wow, that's true. We're always looking, you know. And have you ever stopped someone on the street where they looked a little bit confused or lost, and you asked them, what are you looking for? Or who are you looking for? Because there's always this characteristic that we have that is always moving, motivating us to look. Look for something better. Look for better placement. Looking is something we do every day, most of the day. Some would say looking on Facebook. Looking at a computer screen. Looking while driving. Everybody say amen for that. And some people get in accidents because they fail to look while they drive. They start looking at their phone. Looking to see if everyone or everything is all right. Looking at their watch. Looking to get to work and have a great weekend. Or looking to get off work and have a great weekend. Two different views there. Looking forward to better days and a better place. So we have this concept in our life that we have to continually remind ourselves that even though we may feel content, we are always looking for something more, something that we can adjust to and be thankful for. And this is how society sometimes bases its approach on humanity, to make the societal approaches that we take in life more advanced or embracing the things that are away from God. Hollywood knows we're lookers. It knows that we will fall or be drawn into something that would entertain our eyes. The entertainment world does its best to capture us, that we would be able to see what's going on. The generation that is being raised now, the generation that has just been born, that is still in their earliest years, coming up now, they're speaking about that generation. These are generational people that love to gather information. They love to look and see. This is why graphically the church is changed by how it presents the gospel. In the old days when the church first started and birthed, and there wasn't graphics as we would know it today. The church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. They came out of the room. There was the graphics that they made by themselves. They were dancing and shouting and joyful. They came out and let everybody in the known world at that point know about Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. But as we grew, and history shows that little by little, with the digital age coming upon us, we began to see things and look for things, even when we come into church. Movement, graphics, information, things that we could take with us and hold with us. And we become rather bored if there's no movement. There's no graphical area. There's something that we're not seeing. But I'll tell you something, if we'll always remember what the psalmist was talking about, and we're going to go there in a moment, he was looking for help. He was looking for God to help him in a time of difficulty. He may have been thinking about Psalm 25:1 when he said, "Where does my help come from?" He said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I give my soul to the Lord. I give my heart to the Lord. I lift it up for Him to be able to hold and to shape and to mold, to comfort, to gracefully encourage." Or he could have been looking at Psalm 125:2. "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore." You see, no matter what it may have been his thought, he was very knowledgeable that the history of his ancestors had testimony after testimony of meeting with God in a mountain area. So he looked to that place. He looked not for the mountains to help, because they couldn't help him, but he looked to the creator of those mountains, the only one that could help him in his time of need. You know, there are times where you may think others can help you, but they cannot. Not like God can help you. Not like the Lord can speak to your life and how He can reach into your life. You know, there's always that hunger. There's always the hunger that we have built in us. Everybody say, built in me. That is there from even birth, from your first breath. And that is to commune with God, to be looking for God. And the enemy of our soul wants to detach us, as I said earlier in the introduction of this message, to detach us from seeing the truth of the Word. The God of this world blinds the minds, 2 Corinthians 4:4, of the people of this world, that they may not see the light of the gospel. We are looking for something from birth, and we're looking to be in communion with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. We are taught in church how to find the Lord, how we can seek the Lord and understand the Lord and embrace the Lord and be with Him and be encouraged by Him. And we ourselves, we look for some of them we could help know the Lord, to get to know the Lord, to introduce them to the Lord. How important that is in our life, to know that from this point where we are with God, that this hunger continues. In Psalm 3:3, it says, "But you, O Lord, are my shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." Amen. A shield. Sounds almost surrealistic. Sounds almost sci-fi-ish. A shield about me. My protector. In other words, nothing's getting through to me, God, because the shield about me is you. And when I'm down and I'm not feeling well, I woke up emotionally distraught, I woke up sensing loss in my spirit, I woke up with a woe in my heart, the Bible says that He is the lifter of our head. In other words, that He graphically, if you'll see this in your spirit, He reaches down from the throne of grace and takes the bottom of your chin and lifts it up, that your eyes will go beyond the problem, the situation, the woe, the emotional downtrodden heart that you may have at that moment, up above all that, and you could be like the eagle that soars above the storm. And see the Lord our God, who is worthy of all praise and honor. He is the lifter of our head. Psalm 37 and 39, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. He's our help in the time of trouble. He's our stronghold. He's there for us. He's the one who stands between the evil of this world and us, saying to that evil, stop, and looking to us, saying, look unto the hills whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. It's built in us. It's a knowledge that we have. So what's so clear is that there's help for us, and there's a protection around us. His desire for us is that we will always be looking to Him, not looking everywhere. Looking for something that'll satisfy what only He can satisfy in our life. Psalm 119:37 says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Turn my eyes from looking at that stuff that's causing me to sin, causing me to doubt who you are, causing me to be tempted into the things whereby I shall not go down that path, but I am tempted to be drawn into the evils of this world, the dictations of men. Take me away from looking at those places. And let me only look to your word. Let me look to where you are, God, that I could find hope in a hopeless world. Peace in an unsettled time. Encouragement in a place of discouragement. Healing in the place of illness. Salvation in the place of imprisonment. Freedom where shackles have bound me. Open doors of prisons that I can walk out, and that my head would be anointed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Yeah. Don't waste your time looking at the past, in other words. I know a lot of people that are always looking at the past. They always want to talk about their past. I want to say something to anybody that's by the sound of my voice, whether digitally or by the very presence here in the sanctuary. Start to look to your future. Confess your future. Believe what you feel or know in the depths of your spirit that God has spoken to you. You don't need to look to the past. You don't need to look over your shoulder. Break the rearview mirror off the scope of your eyes and look to the future. You cannot change the past. You cannot reach back into the past. You cannot unsettle the past. You cannot make the past become different in your life. It is your past. Your very present is where you are. But your future holds the hope that you have. Look to the future. Confess what you believe in Jesus Christ, who He is in your life. Don't listen to the outward signs of this world declaring that there is no God. He is silent. Let me say this to you. There is a God. And if you don't have to be too keen of hearing to hear the loudness of His mercy, the sounds of His voice of compassion, and the shouts of joy from those that have been delivered from the depths of sin and pain. Praise be to the Lord our God. Would you just praise Him for a moment today? Don't look to the past. Oh, yes, you can draw from history. You can learn, but don't look to the past. Understand that God has a promise for you that is successful. Your future in Jesus Christ is a future of success and hope. He never saved anybody to fail. He never saved anybody to just quit. He never saved anybody just to sit down and give up. He saved everybody to move forward into the promise of eternal life, praise God. To move forward into who He has for you. Let me talk to you a little bit about this Palm Sunday, if I will, after giving this slight introduction into your life on looking. Jesus is entering the city at the beginning of the week. He knew what this week held for him, and he knew that this week was going to show the reason why he came to this earth. But the people were looking at him as the King of the Jews. They weren't looking at him as the Savior of the world. They were looking for him to stay. They were a bit selfish. They weren't looking for what the Word had spoken about who Jesus was and is and will always be. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Creator of the heavens and the earth. The Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. They weren't looking to Him at all like that. They were looking at Him in this human form. God becoming man, birthed to a virgin by the name of Mary and raised in a home by his stepfather Joseph and his mother Mary, running with his friends and his brothers and his cousins and going now throughout life and showing up at 30 years old in public ministry after a slight input into the temple at 12, instructing those that knew the law about the law because he was the law and is the law. They saw him as a king they wanted to hold. As though if you were reading back in 1 Samuel when Saul was called. Chapter 9 through 12. If you would find where he was called and you would see that Israel was asking for a king because they were not thinking that God could be their king. They wanted a physical, they were looking for a physical source. Jesus was coming not to be the king of this earth because his kingdom is not of this earth. His kingdom is the kingdom of God. He came in on a colt. A colt never ridden before. A virgin colt. Never ridden. Sent the disciples to find the colt exactly where they would look because he had told them where it would be. That's how come he knew what Friday was going to be like. When he entered in on Sunday. Without fear. Without hesitation. Certainly the burden at the Garden of Gethsemane was something that was so intolerable that he asked, if it be your will, I'll do it. But God, if not, I would rather get out of this if I could, is what he was really trying to say there. But he knew that he was going to fulfill it because he knew what the tomorrow was. He knew that the Judas was going to kiss him at the side of his right cheek in just moments. He knew that those that he had led and taught for 3.5 years who were walking with him, talking with him, eating with him, sleeping around the same encampment with him, watching the miracles that he produced and themselves witnessing the miracles, how they cast out demons and they did things that he sent them out first without cloak and without dagger, then with cloak and dagger. But literally, they would be asleep at the tree. Not only them, but his three that he took with him all the time. Those that he thought would be certainly with him. He knew that they were asleep. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? You know, I want to preach that right now. And I've got to hold it off. I've got to hold it in. But I'll say this, when you compare the 1 hour that Jesus was talking about to the eternity that he was really saying there, you can't find the hour when you get into the relationship with Jesus in prayer, because you become prayer. You become a life that speaks communion to God. He rode into that city on that colt, and they took palms to put before him and cloaks, because they were honoring him as the king. But he knew he was a king. He knew what his identity was. He knew that he was coming in to go through some of the harshest times that any human ever before or ever after would go through. The suffering of a cross called Calvary on the hill of Golgotha. To save a sinner that did not deserve a salvation. Did not deserve hope, but he came to give them salvation and to serve to them hope that was lost to them. From them being hopeless, they would now have hope. And that hope, Hebrews 6 and 19, is the anchor of our soul, because he entered in beyond the curtain that we may enter in right after him. Hallelujah. The first Adam caused us to lose our relationship with God, but the second Adam caused us to come back, the man Christ Jesus, into a full reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Behold, all things have become old, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. He set us free. He brought us to a place where the grave and the sting of sin no longer had victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where are you looking, church? Where are you looking daily? I say to you today, challenge you this very next statement. Every day, look unto Jesus, the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Prince of peace, who is God, and seek his face. Pray to him. Acknowledge him, knowing that he is your God forevermore. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You see, what one may be looking for in Jesus may not be what Jesus really represents. Some people look to Jesus for a blessing. That's why they like him. I love Jesus because he saved my soul. I love Jesus because he took me out of the grips of hell and put me into the plenty of heaven. I love Jesus because I had no future, but now because of Jesus, I have a future. I love Jesus because once I was dark in sin, but now I am light in the presence of the Lord our God. Amen. Would someone praise him for that in your own life this morning? Are you brought out of darkness into his marvelous light that you shall show forth his praises? Amen. Hallelujah, praise God. When you sing his praises, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, how marvelous he is to know that in our life he's there always. He's with us at all times. You see, there is victory when you look to Jesus for help. Victory. He is a breath away. He is a statement away. He is our God. He is our God, and he's there. And right now, in the name of Jesus, he is there. And we need to honor him and to praise him and to be with him and to acknowledge him and to bless him and to lift up his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. The psalmist knew three great distinctions I want to share with you, not preach them through, but just to share them. I'll be drawing to a close in just a moment. But three great distinctions about the Lord our God. He knew, number one, he knew where to look. I wonder how many people are in the pews today across America that don't know where to look for God. I look to the hills whence cometh my help. In other words, he's saying, I look to the hills, where does my help come from? I've got ancestry that says that they went up to those hills and they talked with a God who communed with them. They heard voice and they stood back from the mountain because they were afraid, and they sent Moses to speak for them. But he came back with a glowing face because he was with his God. He knew where to look. And so do you. He knew where to look and who would listen. Secondly, he knew whom to ask. He knew who his help was. He knew who to ask. Ask God for help. You don't have to stop at the reception center. The veil is rent. You have been blood washed, saved, sanctified, filled with the power of the living God. You are the anointed children of God. You all know that all you have to do is ask anything in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, my Father will do it.
Amen.
Thirdly, he knew who would attend his needs. God attends your needs personally. Moses knew that. Exodus 30 through chapter 33, and I won't quote it all, but I'll say this to you, that he was asked to take Israel further forward. After such disdain and difficulties thus far in the desert experience, it was now time for them to move forward. And Moses said this, I will go, but only if you go with me. What he was saying is that the angel that has been traveling with us, even though that angel distinctively represents the power and the anointing of God, he's saying, but God, I don't want an angel. I want you. I want God. I need God. I desire God. He knew who would attend his needs. the Greek men came in the midst of the crowd and said, "Sir, that we may see Jesus." There's no scripture that says that Jesus ever gave them audience that they desired, but they knew where to look. When they took the paralytic man through the roof, they could have stopped and asked anybody in the street, "Can you pray?" They knew that they had to get this man to Jesus, and they opened up the thatched roof and dropped him in the very presence at the foot of Jesus. He knew who was going to attend his need. Blind Bartimaeus could not see from birth. His father had a disease of blindness that carried on into him. Heard that Jesus was coming by and yelled out, "Son of David! Son of David! Have mercy on me." In the crowd said, "Hush, don't bother him." But he knew who would attend his need. And he raised his voice even louder. And it caught the ear of the one who would attend to his healing. And he stopped and he said, "Bid him to come." And when those words came, the crowd said, gently, "No," now with a mindset differently, because they wanted to be part of his miracle, said, "The master is calling you." Instead of "hush," they were encouraging now. And he threw off the cloaks of poverty and blindness and ran to Jesus, not yet healed, but by faith, blind faith. He found the Savior and he was healed immediately. Oh, someone say amen. Amen. Healed immediately because he knew who would attend him. Sometimes we begin to look at the wrong place or person for help, and it doesn't do good, nor does it feel good. Proverbs 25:19. Trusting in a treacherous man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. The word is very certain on who Jesus is, and we are to be that certain that we are looking to him. They saw who he was through that week. His disciples saw him in a different way at that supper. Communion for the first time. The breaking of the bread representing the body, and the drinking of the wine representing his blood. And the details of someone is going to turn him over. Someone by the name of Judas Iscariot, the one who breaks bread with me, is going to defy me, turn me over. They watched that week as he went through the stages of pain. They proved that humanity could not do what Jesus could do. They all ran from the garden. They tried to defeat it by a sword, and Jesus healed the ear because he knew what he had to do wasn't going to be helped by humanity, because he came to deliver humanity. Peter denied him after he said that he would not. He denied him and the rooster crowed. He denied him step by step, knowing that nobody that was able, that had blood of a sinner's case running through their veins, but the sinless one, Jesus, was the only one that could walk down the Via Dolorosa to a cross called Calvary on a hill called Golgotha, overlooking Jerusalem, to die a horrific death that you and I, this next week, will celebrate the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that because he lives, we can live also. We need to do something here that it says in Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, this world that we see, they're looking at so many things that are causing them pain and trouble, making statements such as, I have nowhere to look. What am I looking at? Cannot help me. It is destroying me. Looking into the darkness for answers instead of looking into the marvelous light of the Savior Jesus Christ. Looking at heroes that have imprinted their onlookers with wrong approaches to life and relationships. In other words, putting faith in men instead of putting faith in God. Your faith has one placement. That is in God. Your faith has one source. God is your source. Heroes of life come and go. Heroes of faith are strong. But any hero of faith will tell you, don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Paul said it closely as he could. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Amen. All should be looking to Jesus, the Savior of the world, the author of our life and breath, the founder of our hope, the perfecter of our steps and path in life. He's our faith. He's our joy. He causes us to give and have the endurance and patience that we need to walk through this life. He despised the shame that he had to go through, but he went through it because he would save us and he would sit at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 123 and 1 says, to you I lift up mine eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Hallelujah. Psalm 54 and 4 says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Hebrews 13 and 6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Everybody is looking for something as mentioned. Even as I preach today, many of you have been looking at me. But I say to you, look to Jesus. Any preacher that preaches the gospel that doesn't point the audience towards Jesus is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one that you can look at for forgiveness. There's only one you can look at for deliverance. There's only one you can look at for freedom. There's only one you can look at for empowerment. There's only one you can look at for healing. There's only one you can look at for hope. Yes. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name. He is the King of Kings and the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, who came to the world to save the world, not condemn the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me close with this scripture because he spoke something to his disciples before he left. And this is an ongoing response. Even Peter mentioned it in his great message in Acts 2. For the Holy Ghost is for you and all those who are afar off. He said this in John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. In other words, I'm not the king that's staying here on the throne. I've not come to destroy the Roman Empire. I've not come to destroy the law because of what my two greatest commandments, the prophets and the law, hung upon. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor even as you love yourself. I've not come to change the word, the law, one jot or tittle. I've come to save the world. I've come to show the world that there is salvation through none other but God. And man must come through me to see God. Hallelujah is what he was saying. He can save, Hebrews 7 and 25, to the uttermost, all those who come to God through him. It's to your advantage that I go away. I don't come to sit on the throne in Rome, or to sit on any throne that you may desire for me, as you did in the old for the judges throughout the book of Judges, or kings, as in for Samuel and so forth. I'm the king of a kingdom that you have not yet found. But I speak to people today who have ears to hear and eyes to see, open hearts. If you know Jesus, you have found that kingdom. And if you look in your heart, sitting on the throne of your heart should be a king of glory, a king of might and power, a king that stops before every enemy that tries to attack you and puts his hand out and says, "Stop! Amen. For this is my child. This is the one I gave my heart for. Praise be to the Lord our God." Amen. "For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He will share who I am. He will testify of the truth. He'll tell you things that are about to come. He's your helper. He's your helper. The Holy Ghost of the living God, I believe, is very present in this message today. I believe he's present in your life if you have the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Why do people fear the Holy Ghost? Why would someone fear the empowerment of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost is there to help? The Holy Ghost convicts, convinces, constrains, and constructs. He blesses, he strengthens, he encourages, he lifts you up, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God.